Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's just take a moment to pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this place and this time we set aside to hear your word. We've just celebrated our church anniversary and we've been reminded of your great faithfulness to us. We thank you for every word spoken in the name of the Lord Jesus in this place. And again this morning we want to honour and glorify our Saviour, our Lord, our King. We ask for your help, Lord. We pray by your Holy Spirit you would come amongst us and that you would speak into our hearts and lives. We pray for the church at large. We pray for, Lord, our own community and the wider church in this community, that, Lord, each one would be led by you, would be guided in what they do according to your word. We pray for our county, that your church, Lord, would know great blessing, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us and indeed upon our nation as we've had again another election, a local election in the week. We can just pray for our nation as a whole, that you would guide us, that you would raise up those who know you, those who respect you, those who would do things your way. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us. And for our world at large and all its troubles, Lord, wars, Lord, the threat of war, and Lord, all that is going on, Lord, you know the hearts of men. That psalm has reminded us of that. And so, Lord, we again pray, particularly for brothers and sisters in Christ, that they might be protected. More than that, that, Lord, their lives might shine in the darkness, that their circumstances and situation, which often are difficult and bleak, Lord, would be a testimony to those around, that these people love you and are willing to suffer even for you. So bless and help our brothers and sisters, we pray. Thank you for what you are doing, building a church from every nation, tribe and tongue. Thank you that that work goes on to the very end, and we thank you for it. Thank you that the gospel came to us. Thank you that the gospel goes out from us, Lord, to our community and beyond. Be with all those we have contact with as a church. We thank you for the fellowship and the wider fellowship of which we are a part. Bless, we pray, the preaching of your word today. Be glorified in these words. Anoint speaker and hear us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this weekend is all about ups and downs. Who is going up and who is going down? No, you're all still looking very blankly at me. I refer to the football season. It's passing you by, I can see. Now, don't worry, Southend United are safe for another season. They're going nowhere. Well, they seem quite happy about that, but they're happy. But my hometown team, as a boy, are going down. It happened a few weeks ago, actually. I've just kind of been living, holding back the tears. But now it is confirmed. And you might ask, why? Why has this happened? The season started with so much optimism. I'll tell you why it happened. They've had three managers this season. In fact, they had three managers in about 3 months. So you can imagine the confusion. Who do we listen to? We did it this way last week. We're doing it this way now. Now, who you seek advice from makes a difference, doesn't it? Who's in charge? The psalmist strongly urges us to listen to God, not to the wicked. To meditate day and night upon his law, upon his word. To take our instruction, our direction from him. But we live in a world, don't we, bombarded by what everybody else thinks. Everybody's got a right to their own opinion. And they love everybody else to hear about it. I'm sure if football's not your thing, the natural world will be. And you'll be aware of the life of the salmon. Whether it's David Attenborough speaking over in those hushed tones or somebody else. You see the life of a salmon. The incredible journey that it takes from the sea up the riverbeds, up against the current that flows, swimming against the tide. As a Christian, don't you think sometimes that's how it is for us? Swimming against the tide. Everyone wants to do it their way. Everybody thinks they're doing the right thing, doing it their way. And then there's God's way. And it's the way, if we're Christians this morning, that we've chosen to live, chosen to take. But it is sometimes like the salmon swimming upstream. Getting up to the source is hard work, difficult, because everything else in our world flows against us. Now, there are many different lifestyles. But as the psalm shows, there are only two ways to live, with God or without God. Without God, the way is down. What does it say? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the seat of sinners, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. It's a way down, because those who are amongst the counsel of the wicked walk, and then stand, and then sit. They get entrenched in that position, in that place. The conclusion they come to, they talk to each other, they walk a little way with others, and then they stand. I'm not going any further. Then they sit. I'm definitely not going any further. My mind is made up. It's a way down. But with God, the way is up. Because it goes on to talk about that tree that is planted and then that yields its fruit. It prospers. It grows. As a tree is a sapling, well, a seed, and then a sapling, and then it grows. It's growing up and growing out. So there's two ways, the way down and the way up. Now, when I talk about what God, with God, and the blessings that God brings, perhaps I ought to be a little bit more specific in the days in which we're living. When I speak of God, I'm speaking of the true and living God of the Bible. I'm speaking of the God who's given us his word, his law. I'm speaking of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us his Son and has given us his Spirit. Because it says of this tree, it's planted by streams of water. And God the Holy Spirit is described in that way. Jesus himself said, whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him. So I'm not talking vague idea of God. I'm talking about the God we know. But this morning I want us to open out this psalm to realize we can see and know more of him from what is said. Because this psalm, yes, it speaks about the two ways to live. The way of man. But actually behind the way of man in this psalm is the way of God. And it's that I want to look at. Now, if you've been coming on a Sunday evening, you know that I've been looking at who the Lord is. And what difference knowing him makes. We looked at Psalm 40, for example. He's the faithful deliverer. We looked at Revelation 5. He's the Lion of Judah, but he's the Lamb of God. Majesty and might, but meekness and gentleness all together in our Lord and Saviour. And then Judges 6 last week. The Lord is peace to our hearts. The Lord is all these things and so much more. But what does it say in Psalm 1 about the Lord? Now, it's a strange thing to do, but I want to begin by looking at verse 6. Don't normally look at the end and then you normally work through. But look what it says in verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. The Lord is the surveyor. He is watching. We have a God who watches. Now, again, we live in a world, don't we, surrounded by CCTV, dash cams. You know, everybody, you don't know it, but you're all famous because you're getting more than your 15 minutes of fame as you just walk up and down. You're on camera. They watch. We're encouraged. Get a dash cam fitted. If there's an accident, then give that footage to the police so they can watch. But more than watch, or more than watching, the Lord intervenes. He doesn't just, from some high lofty place, watch from a distance, scratching his head, wondering what's going on. You know, some people think God is like that. There's a pop song that has within it this sentiment, God is watching us from a distance, it says. And it kind of says, oh, we all look kind of the same. Well, I understand the sentiment that's being made in the song, but God is not watching us from a distance. He knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows the thoughts. He knows everything. And not just of the people in Rochford, but the whole world. We need a bigger vision, a bigger sight of how great God is. He knows you inside out. God is not watching from a distance. He is near. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. But the psalm goes on to explain that he doesn't just watch, but he is involved. He intervenes. You see that in the Old Testament in some of the things that happened. In Exodus chapter 2, remember the coming out of Egypt. They were suffering. They were slaves in Egypt. And it says, God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Was that it? No. In the next chapter, I have indeed seen the misery, the Lord said. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. God set his people free from their slavery. And of course, God in Christ has come amongst us to lay down his life for us, to set us free from the slavery that we know to sin. He watches to protect and to keep us from harm. Psalm 121, he who watches over you will not slumber nor sleep. He will watch over your life, your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. What a wonderful promise. The Lord watches over the righteous. Now, without Christ, we're not righteous. He has made us righteous. He's made us right when we were wrong. But having become righteous, if our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are watched over, as this verse tells us. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. That's a comfort to know going into another week. The Lord goes before us. Does it mean then that the Lord just watches the righteous and has taken his eye off the unrighteous? Is that what's going on in the world? Because why are so many evil things happening? No. It goes on to say in that same verse, the way of the wicked will perish. The Lord has that in mind as well. The Lord will see to that. as we'll see in a moment. But just take for a moment the truth that the Lord is the surveyor of all things. There's no hidden corner. There is no God-forsaken place on planet Earth. The Lord sees and the Lord knows. Yes, we may wonder why no action on this situation, Lord. But there are plans and purposes and timings with all that God does. But he watches. He's the surveyor. But look at verse 1. Let's go to the beginning. The Lord is the sanctifier, verse 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. The Lord blesses. You know, all blessings come from the Lord, if you think about it. Beautiful sunshine. Many people making the most of that today, but not many will be giving thanks to God for it. Much of his blessings are not acknowledged as so. But all good things come from him. And so, as the righteous, if that's what we are this morning, let us count our blessings. Let us be thankful for what the Lord has blessed us with. The Lord is the sanctifier. We started with the children this week, showing them Pilgrim's Progress. You know, the story of John Bunyan. We have it as an animation film. And it starts off with Christian, if you know the story, with his burden of sin. And everybody else is kind of just going about their merry way, and he is just so burdened and so down about his sin and the situation. And suddenly, and it's quite humorous on the DVD, but Evangelist appears and tells him where he's to go, to the gate, which stands for Jesus. Go to Jesus. Go there to be safe. Go there on your journey to eternal life. What a blessing that was for Christian. He would never have found his way. But the Lord raised up his servant, Evangelist, and gave him the Holy Book, gave him the Bible, so he could go on his way with the comfort of the Scriptures and the guidance of those the Lord had raised up. The greatest blessing of all is to find Jesus, isn't it? Or to be found by Jesus, because we don't really find him. He comes to us. But to be able to say this morning that I've been found, I was lost, but I've been found by Jesus. He's my way from sin and my way to God. That's the greatest blessing of all. Everything else, what is that compared to knowing the Lord? To know this other way that so few people walk and find the path is a work of God. It's a work of grace. As it says in this psalm, there are many who would give you counsel, the counsel of the wicked, the way of the sinners, the seat of the mockers. There are many you could sit down with and talk to, and they could share together their sin. Because that's what we know. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But to be blessed, to be set apart, to be sanctified on a different course in life is wonderful, isn't it? What the Lord has made possible. To know God's greater, higher purposes for our lives. Now we couldn't find this on our own. We wouldn't have even sought to look for it on our own if it was not for the grace of God. We're not saved by our own efforts. We're saved by what he has done at Calvary for us. Blessed is the man. Where does this blessing come from in this psalm? It comes from God. Because it's the Lord who gives his law for the man to meditate upon. It's the Lord who gives the streams of water to flow, to refresh the tree so it grows in the description. The Lord is not just the sanctifier, but he is the supplier. the supplier of what we need. Anybody planting anything in this sort of heat needs to water it well, don't they? You've seen that, you'll see that probably, garden centre tomorrow. People planting new things in their gardens, they'll have to water them well because of the scorching heat. The Lord provides wonderfully for us so that we can grow in our faith. Like a tree, drawing up from the roots and producing the fruits. It's not a poem, but it could be. Drawing up from the roots, producing the fruits. That's the way it works. Without those roots, without that water, it shrivels and dies. But here is the promise. Whatever the season, it yields its fruit, and the leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. So we might be swimming against the tide, but we are supplied, we are provided for as we go the Lord's way. Others, as I said, become entrenched and fixed, but believers on the Lord Jesus grow up in our faith and grow out, adding to the lives of others. And this growth is an ongoing growth, permanent and productive. Fruit in season. Whatever the season might be. And some are going through really difficult seasons. But even in those, there's still fruit. It may be the fruit of patience. Does anybody like the fruit of patience? Is it growing in the circumstance that you're in? The fruit of love, joy, and peace. Oh, we love those. But long-suffering. Who wants to grow long-suffering? But as we draw from the Lord, even these fruits are beautiful. Even these fruits are precious. Even these fruits are worth keeping. And of course, the tree produces the fruit for a purpose, not for itself. The tree belongs to the one who works the fields, and the fruit goes to him, not for the tree. And so it's the same with the Lord, isn't it? That what we bear in our lives is for his glory. Permanent, productive lives. Lives that prosper, even in difficult circumstances. What a picture that is of what the believer, the Christian, is to be. And what a contrast then comes. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff. Husks of wheat thrown up into the air. Chaff. Blown away, of no use. And there's a reminder, a very solemn reminder at the end of this psalm, that the Lord is not just the sanctifier and the supplier, he's the separator. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. We said at the beginning how the Lord watches over the righteous, but also is aware of the ungodly too. And the Bible is very clear of a judgment. Now, it's quite strange, isn't it, the days in which we're living. I was thinking about this just earlier. We live in days where people just won't accept right and wrong. No absolutes, if you think about it. No absolutes. Don't judge me. You're not allowed to have a view one way or the other. It's just everybody, does what they want and does what they want their way. Well, yes, people can be too judgmental. I'm not encouraging that. In fact, Paul writes about not being judgmental amongst each other. But God is a righteous judge. He makes the right call, the right decision, because he knows the hearts and lives. Sometimes we make decisions from what it looks like, what we think. But God makes the right call and will make the right call, as this points out. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The psalmist told us that blessed is the man who avoids the counsel of the wicked, who doesn't get caught up in these things. Because those who do get influenced away from God's ways. Man is blessed to avoid them, but he's cursed to be caught up with them. They may stand together in their ungodly counsel, but they will not stand before God on that day. Because who can stand before God? That question is asked in the Bible. Only those who are sanctified, set apart. Only those who are supplied by the Lord. Only those he's watching over. Without him, how can we stand? Now again, we live in a world where people like to come together. The strength in numbers, they say, and there is. But there's greater strength with one and the Lord when things are righteous and done the right way, rather than millions who go and do it the wrong way. Graciously, God has promised not just to watch over, but to keep us in this world. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. He looks after his servants. He watches over the way of the righteous. So this morning, are you living with or without God? Are you listening more to the world and its ways? Is it pulling you, alluring you to it? Or are you meditating on his word day and night? Note that, not a quick glimpse, not even an hour on a Sunday, but meditating day and night. Drawing from the roots so that the fruits grow. Are you struggling like the salmon? Swimming against the tide, perhaps amongst family, friends, work colleagues. Strange thing about the salmon is it's God's design for it. Isn't it? It's not just, obstinate. It's just not choosing a difficult course in life. Everybody else is doing this, so I'm going to do the opposite. It's actually the way God has designed it to be. And strangely, it's the way God's designed it for you and for me as Christians too. We need to be sure of who the Lord is. As we look into the Word, we find that. He's the surveyor. He sees. He's the sanctifier. He sets us apart to live for him. He's the supplier who supplies our needs. And he ultimately, on that final day, will separate wheat from chaff, sheep from goats, trees from chaff, whatever the distinction you want to make, those who are his and those who are not. Now that's hard. That's hard, but that's the reality. That's what lies ahead. But there is still time. There is still time. It's not over till it's over. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, in the natural, the tree is the tree and the chaff is the chaff, and that's it. But in the spiritual, chaff can change. Can't it? Chaff can change. The chaff can become the tree. By the seed of God's word, by the Spirit bringing new life, fruitfulness can come to a life, even a life at the end of its years. Been chaff for so long, not done things God's way through life, even in a last moment belief, I mean, that's the wonder of grace, isn't it? I'm not encouraging deathbed conversion, but it does happen. And I believe it. And you might think, oh, well, that doesn't seem fair. There's that tree. It's been fruitful for so many years, and it's gone through so many harsh things and come through. And then that pile of chaff, and suddenly a seed germinates, and a little tiny sapling appears. But that's God. That's grace. What an amazing God we serve. This morning, where are you in this? I trust you can say, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm with the righteous. And because of that, I want to be fruitful. I want to make a difference to those around me. But if this morning you've never come to that place and you're still as chaff, blown about, blown away, there's still time to be that tree planted by streams of waters. But who's in charge? Who's the boss? Who are you going to listen to? Let us listen to God's word through the week. Let us listen to godly advice. And let us go on together in our faith. Amen.